Chapter 7. A Hushed Evening. Talmer, Varun, and Vala crashed through the brush, finally arriving back at the camp. They had been running for nearly the whole mile back to the clearing, and Vala was breathing hard. She had no idea how her two companions weren't. The rest of the group had been busy while they had been gone. There was a small fire burning. The other three members of the group were clustered around it. Damien was stirring a pot hanging over the flames, and Vala saw some rabbit bones on the ground near his feet. The pot looked too large for any of them to have effectively carried during the trip, but she didn't question it. Talmer sat down by the fire, trying to pick a few leaves out of his hair.
"Looks like you got back just in time for dinner," Damien said proudly. "I had no idea Caleth could shoot that well."
"It was just some rabbits," Kayla said, but she was smiling. "They're not at all that hard to shoot."
"Yeah, well, you hit all three straight through the eyes,"
Beodin commented.
"That's pretty impressive, especially knowing who your teacher is."
"Hey," Talmer shot the dwarf a look. Beodin shot one right back. But Caleth smacked him before they could devolve into another fight. Damien grabbed a small cloth pouch from his bag. He pulled a handful of dried leaves out of it and tossed them into the pot. "Can I see that?" Talmer held out a hand. Damien tossed him the pouch.
"Sure."
"Thyme, sage, and rosemary," he guessed, examining the herbs.
"Yeah, and a bit of parsley."
Damien nodded, clearly impressed. Talmer handed the pouch back.
"That's not something most people would carry out here in the wilds," Talmer noted. "My mother taught me. These are pretty common ingredients in many of her dishes."
He stirred the contents of the pot, then added a little bit more of the herb mix. "My parents run a tavern up in a small town, and she cooks a lot. I used to help her before I left."
"Is that where you learned to play?"
Caleth asked.
"Yeah. My grandfather taught me and my sister to play. She works as a bard, and I'd occasionally join her if I wasn't busy in the kitchen."
"Why'd you leave?"
Beodin asked. Damien shrugged. "I wanted to travel. I didn't expect to be a mercenary or whatever we all are. I began working as a trader, moving from town to town and selling goods. It was pretty fun, getting to go places and meet people. But I made a couple of bad deals with bad people and wound up in debt."
"To who?" Caleth asked.
"I have no idea. Someone who decided to cheat me out of a trade. The supplies I was bringing got stolen, I think, by them. And they demanded that I either pay for them or I replace them."
Caleth sighed. "I hate people like that."
Damien shrugged. "It sort of worked out. I managed to make enough money to pay them back."
"I'm guessing you didn't make a lot of profit, though."
He shrugged again.
"Not exactly. If I can, I want to get enough of a profit with this job and future ones so my mother can move to one of the larger cities and be rich. I don't think it'll happen for a while, but maybe in a few years, especially since you clearly found something out there."
He gestured to the blood on their armor.
"What happened? What did you find?"
"A lot." Vala pulled her braid over her shoulder and began slowly undoing it, running her hands through her hair to get it untangled.
"We found people. Well, sort of people. I think they were some sort of mix between people and creatures. They had a prisoner in there, a moon elf. They were doing some sort of experiment or ritual on him to turn him into what they called a shifter. Or maybe add some of the shifter's abilities to him. I don't know. They called him a hybrid. They used the blood of some sort of creature to do it, and he started getting covered by crystal. When it broke, he looked different. His skin was a different color, and it had markings all over it. And there were streaks in his hair. They had a bunch of others there, too, all different. I counted at least 50, probably more. I saw the person who's probably running it. He's a Talrin. He called them the Bloodborn. He was talking about how they're going to unite Kaldor and make it strong again while fighting racism and other bad stuff. Like, making it so where you came from doesn't matter, I guess. It all seemed really weird. It sounds good on the surface, I guess, but it feels kind of wrong." "Uh-huh. Sure. And who are they?"
Caleth demanded.
the people who are running this. Not a lot of detail here, huh? How are we supposed to know this is real, or that you're not with these people? Her words were empty, and everyone knew it. She didn't truly believe that Vala was allied with the Bloodborne. Vala silently drew the vials of blood out of her pouch, placing them on the ground. She'd brought back 7 vials. Shadow Wraith, Silver Dragon, Fire Sprite, Dire Wolf, Lightning Sprite, Phoenix, and Red Dragon. If I was lying or with them, why would I have brought these? Caleb glanced away, not knowing how to respond. She looked conflicted. Talmer moved over next to her and pulled her into a hug, gently guiding her head down onto his shoulder. Talmer and I saw a couple of these people ourselves, Varun added. She's telling the truth.
Right. If you're done accusing each other of being traitors, can someone explain what a Talrin is?
Bayardin asked. I think I read about them once, Damian answered. They were once demons who were forced to live on the surface world, and eventually their bloodlines mixed with humans and elves, and they became different enough from true demons to be their own race. It was sort of like what happened with the Thrakai, but they didn't come from a weird magic thing, and the Talrins are said to usually inherit evil from their demonic ancestors. I don't know if that's true, but it's what people say. They're rare and usually dangerous, but they aren't as powerful as their demon ancestors. There were 2 of them there. One of them, the older one and I think the leader, said that the Bloodborne already rules Snowgate, Myr, and Ornto, Vala revealed. I think they're planning to get more under their control soon. Ornto's been taken? Damien's eyes widened. Well, not taken exactly. He said organized. I guess taken wouldn't be out of the question, though. I hope they didn't do anything. Damien looked worried. Is everything all right? Talmer asked. No. Ornto. Ornto's where I used to live, Damien explained. My parents are still there. I hope they're all right. Wordlessly, he handed a bowl of stew to Caelith, who took it silently, nodding her thanks. He handed one to Vala also. She was too worried to really want to eat, but she did anyways. It was actually quite good, and after a few minutes, she saw Caelith go over to Varun, who was focused on writing something down in a small notebook he carried. Hey, you need to eat something. He didn't look up from his work. I'll get something in a minute. We both know that's a lie, kid. He sighed. I'm not a kid. Yes, you are. She smiled at him. I'll stop calling you that if you eat. Mm-hmm. Hey. She nudged his shoulder, getting him to finally look up at her. Come on. I'm fine. I'll get something in a minute. She sighed. All right, fine. Be stubborn. It's over there when you change your mind. She walked away, and he turned his focus back to what he was working on. Vala guessed it was a report of some kind, notes about what had been revealed. She couldn't read his writing. Whatever script he was using wasn't one she could recognize. Vala kept occasionally glancing at him, wondering if he was actually going to get food, but he never did. I don't like that demon bloods are involved in this, Talmer said after a while. We know almost nothing about them, much less their plans.
That's nothing new, Bayardin commented. We don't even know much about each other, and when we do, we don't wanna.
Vala said nothing. She agreed with the first part of that statement. She didn't know much about the people around her, but she planned to change that if she could. She didn't care about getting to know them so she could become friends. She wanted to protect herself by figuring out how they'd be most likely to act. Whatever their plan is, it can't be good, Talmer said. He moved over to sit beside Caelith and began fixing one of her braids, which had started to come loose. I've heard stories of demons trying to conquer the world, Damien said. I never thought they'd come true. Me either, Caelith agreed. What do we do about this?
What can we do? Talmer asked.
Silence fell for a few seconds. Then Talmer glanced up at the sky, and Vala instinctively followed his gaze. It was completely dark. The sun had set over an hour before. The stars shone, but there was no moon visible at all. It was going to be a cold, dark night. It's late. We can worry about what we're going to do tomorrow, Varun decided, tucking his notebook into his pack. Talmer and Caelith, can you take the first watch again? Caelith nodded. Talmer didn't seem very happy with the idea, but he didn't argue. Thank you. Vala, you get the dead watch with me again. Damien, Beodin, since I know you two won't try to kill each other, he paused, glancing at Talmer, then back to Beodin, you will get the last watch of the night. As Varun stood up, his armor and scales glinted, reflecting the dimming firelight. Glancing around the clearing to ensure everyone was ready, he kicked out the fire, plunging the group into darkness. The embers glowed, giving enough light for everyone to easily find a place to sleep. Talmer and Caelith perched on the lowest branches of the tree, arrows knocked and ready. Vala climbed up into the tree, perching on one of the high branches. Her only comfort was the fact that she didn't dream if she went into a trance, which spared her from imagining the things she had witnessed that day as the night wore on. She closed her eyes, trying to fall into that perfect balance between sleep and wakefulness, and let the darkness wash over her. The door opened, waking him. He glanced up, waiting for someone to grab him again, but saw it was just the cat hybrid. She turned back to the door, signaling him to follow. He did, moving without thinking, as if his body weren't his own anymore. But that was okay. She led him to a large open room filled with people. Many of them were sparring. A few others were fussing with armor or weapons. It was about as quiet as could be expected for a room full of people. A couple of conversations went on in the far corners of the room, but most of its occupants were focused on training. A few were breathing heavily, but most of the noise came from the clash of wooden training weapons or muffled impacts as punches and kicks landed. She led him to a corner where three people stood. One was a blue-skinned Talren, who looked surprisingly normal compared to a few of the hybrids, and the other two were dark elf hybrids. Both dark elves were wearing silvery white armor, contrasting the rest of the black-armored figures in the room. The Talren glanced over, noticing the newcomers.
"Is this the new one?"
he asked, turning to the cat hybrid. She nodded, pushing him forward.
"Are you sure he's ready?"
she purred, her tone respectful but apprehensive.
"He was enhanced less than 2 days ago."
"He won't be fighting. That's why we have Mira."
He motioned to his right, and a black blur dropped from the balcony, landing gracefully next to him. It was a female hybrid in a fitted black tunic and black pants that were made to allow her to move easily and silently. She was humanoid, but far from human. Her honey-colored skin was streaked with small, faint scars, and her wild, wavy mane of hair was kept back in a sleek ponytail. Sharp, dragon-like horns poked through it, and her eyes, brown and goat-like, were fixed on him.
"Are you a chimera?"
the wood elf asked, a bit startled. He'd read about the creatures before, and even though Mira was only part chimera, it was still an unexpected revelation. He realized as he said it that he probably shouldn't be speaking out of turn.
"And you're a part dragon now," she commented, flashing him a fanged smile.
She didn't seem to care about the slip.
"Surprised? Mira, be nice," the Talren said. "What's your name, recruit?"
"Oh, my name is Phelan." He was surprised that anyone cared. "Phelan Whitlock."
"It's nice to meet you, Phelan. Where are you from?"
"Snowgate. It's a small town up in the Frostspire Mountains."
"Ah, I know where that is," he smiled. "I think I've been up there before. It's a nice area."
Phelan smiled a little.
"Arian, are you sure he's ready?"
The gray cat hybrid pressed, accidentally revealing the Talren's name.
"I'm sure that he'll be fine. Mira will do most of the fighting, and my elites will ensure that nothing happens to your precious recruit. You need to calm down and stop worrying."
Arian sounded slightly frustrated, but he hid it well.
also, I know you're busy, but I need you to make something in case we have to knock someone out. That's all. You're dismissed.
She stalked out of the room and Arian turned to Phelan. One of the Doomerin hybrids held out a large box, and Phelan got a look at his face. Translucent scales circled his neck, but the most startling part about him was his eyes, which were multicolored like a nebula. Shades of black, dark blue, and purple mixed to give him a mysterious and dangerous gaze. Arian took the box, opened it, and held it out to Phelan. It held dark leather armor, a dark cloak, and a short sword.
"Gear up, recruit," he said. "You're coming with us tonight."